lost some good friends along life's way. Some loved ones departed in heaven to stay, but thank God I didn't lose everything. I've lost faith in people who said they cared. In my time of crisis, they were never there. But in the midst of my struggles, in my seasons of pain, one thing never wavered, one thing never changed. I never lost my hope. I never lost my joy.
Thank you, Sister Stephanie, for that uplifting selection. I never lost my praise. Good morning. My name is Jimmy Winston. I'm one of the deacons here at Village, and it is my pleasure to read the scripture this morning, which is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. You can follow along on the screen, or you can find the scripture in the Pew Bibles on page 1030. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit grown inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
It's good to be with you this morning. I bring you thanks and greetings from the Mid-Atlantic Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, where both your pastor and the First Lady have served in various capacities and have sustained an organization that at times throughout its history has been groping and groaning for life. And Linda and Bruce have both been life givers to MACBF. I thank you for sharing them with the larger Baptist family. I also bring greetings from the Baptist World Alliance, where also your church and your leaders have been faithful. And for that organization, I have grown deeply connected with your congregation, though many of you have never seen me or heard my name. But because of that journey, that very long flight to South Africa together, and the ramblings throughout South Africa that we shared, and my very special roommate, I give you thanks that we can be connected as brothers and sisters in Christ. Would you please pray with me? Oh God, we give you thanks that you have called us to be your daughters and your sons, that we are connected with those who have been yours from all eternity into all eternity, from the beginning of time into all future. We give you thanks for Jesus, who is our brother and our friend, who points the way. We give you thanks for technology which connects us with one another, far and near. We give you thanks, O Lord, for this day. And so in this time and in this place, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and salvation. Amen.
Maybe far away, or maybe real nearby. He may be pouring her coffee, she may be straightening his tie. Maybe in a house all hidden by a hill, she's sitting playing piano, he's sitting paying a bill. Betcha they're young, betcha they're smart, bet they collect things like ashtrays and art. Betcha they're good, why shouldn't they be? Their one mistake was giving up me. So maybe now it's time, and maybe when I wake, they'll be there calling me baby. Maybe. Betcha he reads, betcha she sews, bet she's made me a closet of clothes. Betcha they're strict, as straight as a line. Don't really care as long as they're mine. So maybe now this prayer's the last one of its kind. Won't you please come get your baby?
When Annie and her fellow orphans sing this song, don't you know that they are filled with hope from the bottoms of their feet to the tops of their heads, with confidence that they will be adopted, that their parents will return for them. They trust that Ms. Hannigan and her drunken abuse will no longer be part of their daily lives, that they will be freed from her oppression and the pain she causes. All the while, these girls, though living in horrid life, have become sisters for each other, haven't they? Nevertheless, they are full of hope that they will be adopted out, though they have already adopted each other as sisters. Refugees are flooding into Uganda on a daily basis, hoping for a future that's different than what they've lived. Many leave their homes with nothing but the clothes on their back and that which they can carry in their arms. They speak unfamiliar languages. They eat food that is quite foreign to their new host country. Their skills and their professional lives are discounted, and they are lonely and seeking a future. I'm not sure what their songs are like. They are most likely quite foreign to my ears. They are most likely songs sung in a language unknown to me or to any other human, but the spirit knows the groans and the pains and intercedes. And I suspect, just like Annie, their songs end in maybe. Mid-Atlantic Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, and therefore Village Baptist, is fortunate to partner with Refuge and Hope, a ministry in Uganda, offering hope and family to those who are displaced and more than unfortunate men, women, and young people. Hope is found in an embrace, a listening ear and a strong shoulder, in a Bible study or music making, in English class or vocational training or GED equivalent classes, so that a 17-year-old doesn't have to go to school with a 7-year-old. When their families have been separated and young people long for the care and love of a mother and a father. When parents long for the embrace of their children, Refuge and Hope provides a conduit for mothers and fathers to be birthed among a vastly diverse community, and children are adopted by a loving parent. I was there when Valia first came to the Center of Hope as one of the initial five students. Her English language was extremely limited. But over time, she has mastered English and even sewing. She made me this dress in 2015 when I left the good company of Village Baptist, and they traveled to Victoria Falls and I traveled to Uganda. And there Valia made me this dress. She is now employed and a leader at the center, which sees about 500 people a day. In her 7 years at the Center of Hope, Valia has been transformed into Mama G. She's a mama for the general people who walk through the gate of the Center of Hope. And now she is known as Mama G. We, Village Baptist, me, Mid-Atlantic Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, collectively and individually, are part of the story of hope pouring out upon the refugees coming to Kampala, Uganda, the pearl of Africa. Stories of no longer having to run and escape, no longer of slavery and oppression, but of adoption. And isn't this exciting? This is real life, perhaps similar to the ways of the fictitious orphan Annie. But Mama G and others are living as the children of God because the Spirit of God is at work. Friends like Mama G understand suffering that I cannot even begin to imagine. Young people fleeing from villages where their family members were massacred, moving through jungles and deserts alone and clinging to life, eating what they can forage, catch, trap, or any other means, stumbling upon the goodness or unfortunately the badness of others. Not unlike those who traveled the Underground Railroad, a dark part of our own U.S. history, where slaves were set free and adopted into new community, grafted into a new family, offering freedom which had not been experienced in the days of enslavement. We read in the text today that the Spirit bears witness. And we are adopted. We collectively, with those of ancient times, with those in Uganda and those who walked that Underground Railroad, and those of time yet to be, we are part of God's family. Siblings with Christ, united in suffering so that we might be glorified with him. I don't know about you, but the notion of suffering is not terribly appealing for me. I suffer and I have suffered, not the sort of life-threatening suffering, but suffering nonetheless. How about you? I'm quite certain some of you have seen death face to face. I'm quite certain you have suffered. And you wonder when that suffering will end. Your congregation has certainly suffered. As I have visited with Pastor Bruce over the last few years, I am amazed to hear your congregation's story. Were any of you here for the fire? Some of you were. Were any of you here for the dislocated worship days? Or the opening of the now not so new facility. None of these days were without suffering, were they? N.T. Wright, one of the great biblical scholars of our day, writes, "The road to inheritance, the path to glory, lies along the road of suffering." Listen one more time. The road to inheritance, the path to glory lies along the road of suffering. But oh, how often we want to avoid suffering. Often in our society, even little children are protected from the possibilities of pain, as some are forbidden from climbing trees, reaching across monkey bars, or riding their bike around the corner out of sight. Please hear me. I am the mother of three, and I do not believe we should put our children in harm's way. But I do think we do them a disservice when they are not allowed to fall and scrape their knees, or fail, or learn some hard lessons. For in these experiences, resilience is grown, adaptability is formed, and a deeper of understanding of life begins to be realized, which is difficult to reach when living in a protective bubble. In verse 17 from today's reading, it says, if children, followers of Jesus, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified in him. Somehow in our culture, we've come to believe that this notion of glory is when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be! Or when we're so illuminated, that we're so bright, you have to put on those special glasses that you're going to need on the 21st of August for the total eclipse, right? But let's look a little bit more at what it means, this notion of glory. In Psalm 72, verses 18 to 19, the song says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his name, his glorious name forever, and may his glory fill the whole earth. Amen and amen. In Revelation 21 and 22, we read of the new heaven and the new earth. As verse 2 says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, who prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Did you notice that God's glory fills the whole earth, all of creation, not in some distant destination with a sign pointing in the direction to heaven, but here on earth? If we kept reading in Revelation, we would read that there would be no more death, no more mourning and pain, that God would wipe away every tear and make all things new. This is the glory of God. And when glory is revealed and we humans are living according to the Spirit in fullness, all of creation will be fulfilled. I think sometimes we miss the call of salvation as something just for humans for the afterlife. But indeed, it is clear in the scripture, it is for all of creation. With the incarnation of God becoming a human and then suffering, dying, rising, and ascending, we have hope in the already and the not yet, in the here and now, and in the there and then. Knowing we have been set free, and yet the fullness of that freedom is our hope to come. We in the West are often full of optimism, holding on for things to get better and the struggles of this day to be gone. We place a lot of weight, or sometimes, on political leaders, on pastors, on school leaders, and even in the next generation, that the world will become a better place. I'm optimistic things will get progressively better, some say. But progress is often a myth carrying much of our society. For you see, there's still violence and wars and rumors of wars and racism and classism and sexism and so forth continuing often more rapidly than we see or acknowledge. Optimism and hope aren't really the same thing. Hope understands the struggles of today aren't simply obliterated or discounted, but allows us to be shaped and formed more and more into the image of the siblings of Jesus Christ who suffered to the point of death. In my office, I have a card that's framed and it says, "Faith makes things possible, not easy." And while this may sound pithy or maybe even flippant, I have returned to it many times when it seems difficult to get out from under the struggles or suffering of the day. It offers me hope beyond optimism. It reminds me I am with Christ, not singularly, but collectively, as siblings of Jesus, as the family of God, the body of Christ, adopted. When we together are led by the Spirit of God, the glory of God can be revealed in and through us as we are named and claimed. Our optimism is reshaped and transformed into hope. Later in the book of Romans, in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So it's not just that we show up on Sundays and are nice to each other. Or even if we're nice to those in our neighborhoods or at vacation Bible school this week, or when we celebrate 58 years of marriage or an upcoming marriage. But that we might allow the life of our brother Jesus to intersect our lives so that all of creation can be transformed. Yes, even glorified. This can be both simple and extremely challenging, possible and improbable, probable and improbable. But we, friends, are counterculture people. The very fact that we have chosen to gather today, this morning, to worship when the majority of people in our particular society are not attending worship in a church building indicates we are on to something. Discipleship is challenging, but it is not impossible when we allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. Once upon a time, discipleship and Christian life might have been understood as a checklist of things to do. But I challenge each of us to move beyond that to-do list of Christianity 101 and delve deeper into our faith, into our relationship, into our understanding of inheritance and adoption, deeper into our individual thoughts and dreams as well as the collective, and surrender ourselves to the power of transformation. Revival of that which has yet to be fully seen, the glory of God. For this reason, we hope you and me, the people down the street worshiping in homes or in other houses of worship with Mama G in Uganda and her family at Refuge and Hope, with our brothers and sisters also adopted with us from every corner of the world who cry out to God, whose entire being is transformed by the power of the living God, not just when we all get to heaven, not just when there's no more hunger or pain or war or slavery or isms, but in and through the suffering, the hope of Christ is birthed. And all of creation, including us, will experience the glory of God. So let us be the sisters and brothers of hope. Will you pray with me? Oh God, we are humbled and we are grateful when we realize how you work in our lives and in the lives of our sisters and brothers and all of creation that fills the earth. We pray, oh God, that we would heed your call to present ourselves as living sacrifices, to not just be optimistic people, but to be people of hope who are named your children, your sons and your daughters, brothers and sisters of Jesus, who has come into our hearts and into our lives, transforming us, that we might be part of your glory here on earth as it is in heaven, as we join all of your creation, ushering in your glory. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Trish reminds us that we are a part of a family of faith. And that's what the church is about. It's a family of faith, brothers and sisters in Christ, seeking to do God's work together. It may be there's someone here this morning who'd want to profess your faith in Jesus, follow him as a believer in baptism, unite with our church as you allow Jesus to come into your heart. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you're not a part of a church family in an official way. We'd invite you to transfer your membership or come by statement of Christian experience. The invitation to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 614, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart.